There's a passage that I want to talk to you about today that is in the book of John. The book of John is a book that is quite simple in a lot of ways. The language is simple. The words, the vocabulary, the expressions, they're not complicated. And sometimes that simplicity is deceiving to those who don't think carefully about what they're saying, those words. The Word of God is supposed to be, and is, it's accessible. It's something that even a child can kind of understand. And yet, it is profound in its meaning. And even old men don't fully understand it after having studied it their whole lives. And I feel that way. After some 40 years of just reading and studying and thinking about and explaining the Word of God, I'm still amazed every time I open this book by things that I've read over hundreds of times, and then I see something that I never really saw before. It was there. It was there to be seen. I think so. I want you to look at this passage in John chapter 10 with me. It's the passage where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. I want to talk about that this morning. Because this passage is not, it's not just about the shepherd. It's about the people who follow him. The title of my sermon is Knowing the Shepherd. Knowing the Shepherd. And it's based on verse 14 of this passage. Where Jesus says, I'm a good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Sheep are stupid creatures. They don't know much. they get into a lot of trouble on their own. They need a lot of attention, a lot of watch care. But something that they know is they know the person who takes care of them. They know that. And we don't like to think of ourselves as being stupid. And yet, sometimes we don't even know what sheep know. We don't even know our own shepherd. And that is, that's a tragedy. So let's talk about this passage. John chapter 10, you know, Jesus starts out, he uses this analogy, this drawn out, almost parable of a shepherd and a sheep. And we'll just read some of these verses. John 10 and verse 2. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It starts out with that basic principle of familiarity. Shepherd knows the sheep know the shepherd. He opens the gate, they follow him out. I know that guy. Jesus builds on that. Verse 4, he says, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know him. Recognize him. All he has to do is just start walking. Open the gate, start walking, and they just go right behind him. Verse 5, A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. It's funny, isn't it? How we know people by their voices. We recognize people by their voices almost as readily as we do by looking at them. It's a really strange thing. Sitting, a lot of times when I sit down up here front, I've mentioned this before, I hear someone cough, and I know who that is. Because people are distinctive in the noises that they make. Sitting at my desk in the office, I can't see but just a little sliver of the hall, so I hear people walk up and down the hall all the time. And generally, I know who that person is by the sound that they make when they walk, because everybody walks a little bit different. I can tell when my wife's coming. I can tell. Well, sheep know the sound that their master makes. And even if they can't see him, they know. Even in the dark, they know their master's voice. They know the shepherd is there to take care of them, to lead them, that he's going to go get them something good to eat. He's going to give them water. He's going to take them somewhere. It'll be good. He'll take care of us. He'll watch for us. We know that guy. We know his voice. It's so comforting. But the stranger, somebody they've never heard before, he makes a different kind of noise as he's walking. His voice is different. They're scared. They bunch away from the gate. You don't want to follow that guy. So you may say that sheep are stupid, or I may say that sheep are stupid, but they're not that stupid. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, fights for them, stands up for them. When a threat or a danger approaches, he risks his life for the sheep because he's a good shepherd. And even if he has to fight a wild animal, a wolf, at the jeopardy of his own life, and even if it does cost him his life, it's what he does. It's what the good shepherd does. Verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep, runs away. These aren't my sheep. I'm not going to risk my life for a penny a day. He runs away. I mean, he looks the part for a while. He looks like he's kind of a shepherd, you know. But he's not. And the sheep know that too. Verse 13, the wolf attacks the flock and scatters. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The sheep are ravaged, attacked, killed and eaten because they had someone leading them that didn't do a very good job. Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And he goes on to say in verses 27, 28, kind of drawing home this whole extended analogy, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Powerful, beautiful, wonderful statement. Very comforting statement. But here's the deal. This whole passage is not just about Jesus identifying himself as the good shepherd. He certainly does. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But what Jesus is saying is that there are other shepherds who are not good. And the sheep have a choice. Now, generally speaking, sheep don't have choices. They got to follow whoever comes to take them away. But in the context of this passage, Jesus is, he's trying to talk about a decision that we need to make. He's preaching to people. He's preaching to the audience. And he's saying, you need to follow me. You need to hear me. You need to come to know me. Because I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. I'll keep you safe. Jesus is offering himself. He's offering his services as the Good Shepherd. And we have a choice whether to receive those services or not. That's what Jesus is talking about. You see, Jesus calls us, but he calls everybody. And he will lead us to sustenance. He offers to do that. And he will watch over us. And he dies for us. He dies for everybody. He offers that for everybody. He leads us to safety. That is what he will do. But here's the rub. We have to choose to follow you. That's the only application that you can make of this passage, really. Because when you apply a passage, it's you applying it. It's something you do. Jesus is teaching and preaching to you because you need to do something. You need to make a decision. Because this shepherd does not compel us. He doesn't kick all the sheep into line. And if the sheep want to stray off and follow some other shepherd or not follow you, Jesus isn't going to come and grab you and drag you. And you might say, well, what about the lost sheep? Well, sometimes sheep do get lost. Sometimes they do stray away. And Jesus will come calling and looking for you. And maybe he'll pick you up and carry you a ways. But in the end, the application of this passage is that we need to know he's our master. We need to appreciate him as our shepherd. We need to hear him. And we need to follow him. We have to recognize him, accept him as our shepherd. The sheep listen to his voice, Jesus says. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And that's absolutely true. You don't see a lot of flocks of sheep around anymore, not in this country, but there are places in the world, and I've been to some of them, and you see flocks of sheep everywhere, little flocks, big flocks. And everywhere you see a flock of sheep, there's a shepherd. It's nearly always the case. And there's a reason for that, because the sheep don't do too good on their own. They just don't. If you live in an area where the sheep, the animals can just roam to and fro and just go wherever they want to go, it's not built up country with lots of borders and fences, but just open country, the sheep can go just about anywhere. And they will, unless they have a shepherd to watch after them and to keep them out of trouble. And they're smart enough to know that, and so they group together, they bunch together, and they follow the shepherd because that's their safety. That's where safety lies. That fellow right there, that guy is going to take care of them, and so that's when he walks down the path, they follow him. They do not know the voice of strangers. They don't know the voice of strangers. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, what does it take to be a sheep of Jesus? Well, Jesus would be the shepherd of anyone. But he is only the shepherd of those who hear his voice and come to know it and follow him. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. When do that, they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, that other people hit on that and they say, well, you just can't be lost. Well, you understand that all of that is predicated on this. See, that goes with this. You have to hear the voice of Jesus. and get to know it and become familiar with it and follow it. But you may not. You might not. And if you don't, then perish is the thing that is definitely going to happen. And some don't. Some don't follow him. Some don't follow the shepherd. And that's really what I want to talk about for my sermon this morning. Why don't people follow? Well, they're proud and they're stubborn. And you'll get a proud and stubborn sheep. You'll get a sheep every once in a while that's stubborn and won't follow. And it gets into trouble, and it gets into trouble, and eventually it gets put down because it's not willing to follow the shepherd. It throws the herd off, the flock of sheep. Other sheep start following after that one sheep that's stubborn and won't follow, and so you have to do something about it as a shepherd. And sometimes people are stubborn like that. And they hear the gospel and they hear about the good shepherd and they say, that's really not for me. I don't need that. And so they don't get to know the shepherd. Not really. I mean, they, like I said, they hear about Jesus and maybe they even hear some of the things that Jesus says, but they don't really ever get to know him. And when Jesus says, my sheep know me, he's talking about that intimate familiarity that the sheep have with the shepherd. I mean, they know him. They know him in the dark. They know him. They know touch. They know the shepherd. They know his smell. They know him. How well do you know Jesus? Because clearly Jesus is not talking about some kind of personal physical familiarity. He's talking about his doctrine, his teaching, his gospel, and the principles that come from that, and living that life. You know, you get to know Jesus by living the life of Jesus, and you become familiar with him, and you get in any kind of situation, and his voice is in your head. And I'm not talking about some kind of psycho thing. I'm talking about your conscience. You're aware of the will of Jesus. And it's always there. It's always present. It's like the voice of the shepherd. Calming voice of the shepherd. Reassuring voice of the shepherd. Stern voice of the shepherd. You know it. But you might not. If you don't get to know it. Some people don't. They don't ever get to know Jesus. And they don't hear his voice. Because sheep can be stupid sometimes. Does that look like a stupid sheep? How about this one? That's more like it. Sheep are dumb. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to be a sheep. You know, just sheep following somebody around. I'll make my own way. I'll figure things out on my own. I don't need somebody to tell me what to do, tell me where to go, tell me what to believe. Well, you're still a sheep. you just don't know how dumb you are. You're a sheep who's got your head in a bucket. Or you're a sheep who's in trouble and don't know it. You don't know it. Because the truth of the matter is we're all pretty dumb. We don't know that. We don't know how dumb we are. Until you get around somebody who's really, really smart. And then you find out how dumb you are. When you stand before God in judgment, you're not going to feel very smart if you haven't followed the shepherd. And all of your life's decisions will look pretty bad. There's a sheep who just strayed off and got lost and didn't get shorn for a long time. You know what happens to sheep? They get wool bound and eventually they die from it because they can't even bend down to eat anymore or drink. Isn't that something? There's a lot of wool bound. Used to use that expression a lot in my life. I don't guess people say it anymore. That's a woolly guy. That's pretty woolly. Yeah? Yeah, people get like that. And they think they're so smart. They think that they got things figured out. But you know, the alternative to the good shepherd is really a bad one. That's the reality. People say, I'm going to direct my own life. Well, you know what? The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. You want a shepherd like that? Well, if you don't have the good shepherd, that's what you have. The wolf attacks the flock, scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. All of the things that you think you got figured out, all the things that you think that you understand and you know and the direction that you're going to go in your life and you don't need Jesus, the reality is that you're under the care of a hired hand and the wolf's coming. The wolf is coming for you. I had some pictures that showed some of what the wolves do to sheep, and I thought maybe that would be too disturbing for the little ones. Because it is disturbing. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking to a bunch of people when he said this who had seen exactly what he's talking about. They weren't spared the horror of seeing sheep who have been ravaged by wolves. They knew what that looked like. And so they understood exactly what Jesus was talking about. You see, the sheep who are in the care of the hired hand aren't going to make it. And the reality is that we all follow some shepherd. If it's not Jesus, then it's somebody else. And that shepherd may be the world. You think you've got things figured out and you know what's what. And really all you have done is just listen to other people. And you read things on the internet and you hear things in school and class and your teacher or your professor tells you something and you buy into that. Because that's what people do. Because we are social creatures just like sheep are. And we follow herds. And everybody wants to say, I'm different, I'm special. And so they get some mark or distinction to make them special or distinct or different. And then everybody does that and suddenly that's what everybody's doing. Because that's what people do. And in the world, people are saying, I'm independent. I speak with my own voice. I make up my own decisions. And they end up saying exactly the same thing everybody else does. When it comes to questions of morality, issues of politics, it doesn't matter. People end up parroting one another. It just becomes an echo chamber. Everybody just says what everybody else says. Because that's what people do. The problem is that really you're just following a bad shepherd. A bad one. Because when the wolf comes, they're not going to save you. The internet is not going to save you. Facebook is not going to save you. All of the dumb comments that all of those people made are not going to save you. The philosophy of men sounds so inviting and so sophisticated. But in the end, it's just a bad shepherd. Now, I'm not going to be able to convince you of that. That's something that you're going to have to see on your own. And the way that you do that is you start listening to the good shepherd. False religion, bad shepherd. And that's specifically what Jesus is talking about in that context. He's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had misled the people of Israel and had taught them poorly the law of God. And Jesus is saying they're just all hired hands. I'm the good shepherd. And if there were false religions and false religious leaders in the day of Christ, they are still here. And we have to, as sheep, you know, we don't know much, but we have to be able to learn the voice of the good shepherd. We have to do that. Even our own opinion can be a bad shepherd. And I've known many a person who made decisions based on their own opinion that were as destructive as they could possibly be to the person who had that opinion. They were their own bad shepherd. The shepherd you should trust is the one who will lay down his life for you. And of course, that's a good marker, isn't it? The one who fights for you, the one who you know is willing to die for you, that's the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what you need to know about Jesus, that perhaps the starting point of coming to know his voice is that he died for you and you didn't have to do it. He hung on that cross and he bled. He suffered and he died. And he did not have to. And he did not do it for himself. He did it for you. And you should start to listen to him once you know that. But do you know him? Do you know the shepherd? How do you get to know Jesus? You listen to his words, you think about them, you study them, you start to apply them in your life, and you get a sense of the goodness of his teaching and how wonderful it can be and where it can lead you, how it can make you a better person. And you get to know by following that shepherd around the good places that he will take you. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They know me. Do you know the shepherd? Do you really know him? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And Revelation 7 and verse 16. That following and that blessing of having the shepherd of Jesus is described this way. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Isn't that an amazing kind of imagery? The Lamb becomes the shepherd. Who knows better how to take care of the lambs than the one who suffered as a lamb? The Lamb of God. He is their shepherd. And he will guide them and guard them and protect them. And will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? In conclusion, brethren, Jesus can be your shepherd. He can be. But you must listen to him. You've got to hear his voice and follow him. Are you willing to do that? It's humbling. And sometimes it's hard. Because sheep have their mind of their own sometimes. And, you know, it's difficult. And so you have to kind of not go with your own opinion and follow Jesus, even when you'd rather stray over in that field, but you got to go where the shepherd is going. But let me tell you something. That's the right choice. Follow the good shepherd. Because he'll get you home. He'll get you back to the fold where there's safety and warmth and comfort forever. So how about it? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd calling? Are you going to follow him? That's a decision you have to make. This morning, what the shepherd would have you to do is to confess his name and turn away from sin. Turn your back on all the bad shepherds and follow the good one. And be baptized. The Lord believes in a good sheep dip. If you want to be buried in the blood of the Lamb, be baptized in the name of Jesus and let him be your shepherd today. Come forward and say that you stand and sing.
Just a few announcements.